Well, good morning. Again, it is great to be here. And the good news is we are free indeed. And it is a great day to recognize to praise God for that freedom. That freedom that we all experience, and that freedom this morning that all I want to do is bring attention to. This sermon this morning is not going to establish freedom. It's not going to usher in a freedom. We are simply recognizing and bringing attention to the freedom that we have in Christ. To the freedom not only to express our relationship with God and to experience our relationship with God, but the freedom from the result of sin. And this morning, we're going to talk about that. We're going to celebrate that. As we begin this new journey today, as we look back on the week that was this past week, and we think about all of the goals that we have set, all of the spiritual endeavors that we have, that we want to be a part of, and all of the things that we're trying to do collectively, how was the week that we just had? Did you talk to anybody about their relationship with the Lord? Did you mine out of this world those who need to know the freedom that exists only in Christ? How are we working on our goals and the things that we have set for our congregation this week? So as we begin this new journey, and as Ward's already said, as we talk about this epic mini series that's going on in the Bible. And I'll tell you, it is, do you realize that this show that started last Sunday night and will continue this Sunday night and going all the way up through Easter, the most watched television show of the week was the Bible. Now it just tells you that either there is a lot of interest, there is a lot of questions, something, but more people wanted to know what the Bible is about than any other show that was on television this week. And I think that God can use whatever man puts together for His glory. He can use that to bring people closer to Him. Now, I've had a lot of calls and a lot of emails, a lot of text messages about people watching this, and the overarching concern is, man, they left a lot of stuff out. And, you know, yeah, Bible's a long book, and they got 5 weeks and 10 hours to get through it, so they're going to cut and paste and edit and all that. But, you know, it's a successful endeavor that's generating a lot of attention and a lot of interest. And tonight they're going to go from into Jerusalem or into Jericho, and it's going to be an exciting time when you see God's deliverance. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning as we think about and set our minds on things above, as we set our minds on experiencing the Bible like never before, as we take a fresh look at the stories. This morning, and we want to talk about this idea of our journey from slavery to freedom. Last week, it was our journey from death to life. And we talked about how that because of sin, that there is this looming reality that is death, that is out there, that is the only thing that's certain in any of our lives. But praise be to God, our Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has come and has rescued us from that death and ushered us into life. This morning, we're going to talk about what life looks like after the reality of life sets in. And see, the fact is that in Joshua chapter 2, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me over to Joshua chapter 2. We're going to talk about where the children of Israel, where God's people find themselves this week, and where they find themselves this part of the story. And see, the thing that we have to realize as we take this fresh look, this new, begin a journey through the Bible, is that the Bible is telling our story of redemption over and over and over again. Last week, it was telling us the story of our redemption, God redeeming us from death. And this week, God is redeeming us from slavery. It's a slavery that we have all experienced. And we focus on this story of Rahab. You see, this is a story that is kind of tucked away here early in Joshua. And the backstory to this is, as we talked about last week, is God has singled out Abraham and he said, you're going to be the father of my people, a father of a great nation. And so the history of that goes all the way through his children, Isaac, and then Jacob, his grandson, has all of these sons, and Joseph is the favorite of those sons. And Joseph finds himself in dire straits, and then God delivers him, and then he finds himself in prison again, and God delivers him. And through his life and continually trusting in God, Joseph finds himself in a position of importance, of authority in Egypt. And that's how God's people get into Egypt. The Exodus that we saw last week, that we watched on TV last week, that Exodus was because Joseph got God's people into Egypt. And it was a good thing. It was a great thing that God, he protected and nestled his people into the superpower of that day. But over time, pharaohs came and went, and Joseph was forgotten about. And eventually his people were enslaved. And then we saw the miraculous crossing of the Red Sea, and all of Pharaoh's armies that were pursuing him, they were destroyed. And so God brings his people out of that bondage, out of that oppression, into what was supposed to be the promised land. But they, due to their lack of faith, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And here they are, after all of that, after the law has come to God's people, after many battles and after many deliverances, God has brought them again to the edge of the promised land. And so they send in some spies to look at it. They send in spies to see. They're at the borders of Jericho, the oldest and most fortified city in all of the world. I mean, this is the oldest fortified, the oldest secure city in the world. And here's God's people right up at the edge of it. And they're about to go in and take this as their own. And so they send in spies to see kind of what's going on. And here we have Rahab, this obscure woman of horrible reputation. I mean, the Bible over and over again refers to her as Rahab the prostitute. And the spies get into the land. They get into Jericho. And Rahab plays a very important role in their survival. Rahab makes a very important choice on their behalf. And this morning we have a video that from tonight's episode of the Bible that's going to kind of show exactly the interaction between Rahab and the spies that are sent in to kind of get the lay of the land before God's people go in to do what it is that God's called them to do. And this obscure, labeled, looked down upon lady has a very key role in the deliverance of God's people. Watch this.
Door to door. In here. Everyone, promise I won't hurt him. Swear.
You're Israelites.
You've heard about us?
You have a God who commands the winds and parts the seas.
He saved us from slavery. We are his chosen.
This whole city is terrified of you. How can we fight a people whose God can do that?
Open up! Open up! Back inside! Open the door!
Can we get out that way? Help us and we will help you.
Go. I'll store them if I can.
Open the door!
Come with us.
I can't. My family.
When our army comes, hang this on your door so they will know not to harm you. You'll be passed over.
Tell me, did you find a way in? Is there a weakness?
Not in the walls. But in their hearts. Joshua, we met a woman. She thinks God has taken the city already. The people melt in fear because they know he is with us.
God is with us.
I love that last statement. They, when he says the people melt in fear because they think God is with us, and he says, no, God is with us. I love that. I love the idea of stopping him right there in his tracks and saying, it's important how you say this in your mouth and in your heart. It's not that we believe. It's not that we think. It is God is with his people. And man, what a courageous thing it is to know that and to follow him. So we have this lady who is who they meet, you know, by happenstance really, and they go into her home and she says, "I'll help you." But it's not just that Rahab decides that she's going to help him. It's that Rahab's story is my story, and it's your story. I mean, over and over again, the way that she's described is one of disgrace. And you see, the fact is that if we are ever going to be changed, if we are ever going to be led by the Lord, if we are ever going to be his people, and if we're ever going to understand that God is with us, that we have to understand that our story also starts out in disgrace. You see, just like Rahab, there's parts of the story that we just would rather not tell. In Joshua chapter 2 and verse 1, it talks about that, you know, the king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy on the land. So the king of Jericho sent his message to Rahab, bring out the men who came and entered your house because they have come to spy out our whole land. You see, she was involved in this. And the reason that they went in, I mean, would it be that big of a shock for two men to enter into the house of a prostitute? Is it anyone? I mean, that just, you know, hey, we know who these men are. We know why they're there. Bring them out. She has a choice to make. You see, her story, her involvement of this is just marred with disgrace. It's marred with terrible reputation, with just this reality of there's just something that she can't get away from, this her life that is just so undesirable. So the question is, what part of your story would you leave out? As we're relating to this journey from slavery to freedom, as we're, you know, what part of your story would you leave out? In Romans 3 and 23, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It might not be as high profile a sin as Rahab's. It might, you know, my sin might be a whole lot worse than yours, but all are in the same boat with her. All of us relate to this disgrace that she carries. In John 8 and 34, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone who falls short of God's glory is a slave to that. Do you realize that because of who we are, because of our reputation, because of all that we have done, we can't help ourselves but in our flesh fall short of His glory? Do you ever feel that slavery? Do you ever feel like what Paul says in Romans chapter 7, that I know what I need to do, I know the good that I am supposed to do, and that's not what I do, but what I hate, the evil that I hate, that's what I find myself over and over and over again doing. You think Rahab felt, do you think she just wanted a way out? It's a sad beginning. It's a sad reality that we begin this story in. But the good news is that that's not all. That's not all of the story, because Rahab's story and our story, it does not only does it begin in disgrace, but our story involves a choice. You see, in Joshua 2, 4 through 14, it says that, you know, she had a choice. There was a point when she could have just decided to turn them in and say, you know what, I don't want to get involved in this. I mean, regardless of what I've heard, regardless of what I think about this guy, regardless of how the stories have gotten, you know, there is a way that things are done, and this just isn't it. And I don't want to get involved. I don't want to be, you know, part of this. Just leave me out of it. She had a choice to make. The question that often comes up at this point is, you know, when we have those choices, is, you know, whose side is God on? I mean, you know, they have their gods and Israel has their God. And so the question quickly becomes, is God on our side? You know, because doesn't that enter into the choice that we make? Is that, you know, is God supporting me or is He supporting, you know, is God my God or not? I mean, doesn't that kind of play into the choice that we make? But the reality is, if you look over in Joshua 5 and 13, the answer is no. Is God on our side? No. No, He's not. I love when the leader of the armies of God show up in front of Joshua and he said, are you on our side? And the angel says, no, I'm not. God's not on your side. The question isn't, is God on our side? The question is, are we on His side? You see, that's the choice that we have to make. It isn't, I'm going to align myself with whatever, you know, with whatever people or whatever's popular. It's, I'm going to align myself with God, the true and holy, the only living God. I'm going to align myself with Him, whatever that looks like. And the status quo is not enough. You see, the safe choice is not to get involved. But I wonder if something was at work in Rahab. I wonder if something was, if the Holy Spirit of God was at work in Rahab and the status quo of everything that had been going on in Jericho to that point, if supporting all that was normal in her city was just not good enough anymore. And so she makes a choice. She makes a choice not to see whose side God was on, but to find God and put herself on His side. She has a choice. We have a choice. And our God is a God who sets captives free, but He will free no one without their consent. See, Rahab is this prisoner, a prisoner to reputation, a prisoner to a status quo. She's a prisoner, a slave to the way things had always been. And unless she is willing to be freed, God says, I can free you, but not without your consent. See, there's a choice involved. Not only is our story the starting out in disgrace and involves a choice, but our story is marked with that same scarlet cord. You see, it wasn't... I mean, ultimately, when the spies give her this cord and they said, you know, you have to single yourself out from everyone else because this city is going to fall. Because this life, this reality, this everything is going away. And to single yourself out, hang this outside of your house. You see, her house was built into the city walls. And so when they came in, you know, they needed to distinguish her from everyone else. And they said, here, hang this outside of your house. And so we will know you and we will save you. And ultimately, she was not saved because of a cord. She was not saved because of a choice that she made. Ultimately, she was saved by the grace of a God that transcended gender and it transcended upbringing. The grace of a God who you know, His grace transcends all of her reputation and all of everything. And it said, if you want to be on my side, I am able and willing to save you. I am able and willing to single you out of a crowd. And you see, life, remember last week I told you life has to be threatened before it can be saved. And she has to look at her life and realize this life is going nowhere. This slavery that I'm living under, I want to be a part of something else. And the life that she was living was being threatened by the reality of a God who was on the doorstep of her community. So she makes a choice, and she is ultimately saved by the grace of that God. And in Hebrews 13 and 12, it says that Jesus suffered, and our Christ, our Messiah, was put to death outside of the city, outside the city walls. He was put to death for us so that we can be saved through the scarlet cord of His precious blood. So this morning, we have a choice. We can realize that our story, like Rahab's, you see, over and over again, it was, you know, throughout, all the way through chapter 6, look in chapter 6 three times, only Rahab the prostitute and all of her house were saved. 22, Joshua said to the men, go into the spied land, go into the prostitute's house. They burned the whole city and all of the, but they saved the silver, the gold, the bronze, and the iron. And they put that in the treasury. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute. And even after she's spared, the story has this disgrace. But because of God's grace, you know what Rahab ultimately became? The great grandmother of the greatest king of all of Israel, King David. She's in the lineage, the real family tree of Jesus because of her choice to align herself with the true and living God. Not to wonder if God supported what she thought or if her lifestyle she got on God's side. And she trusted that what she was told by God's people would come true, and the grace that she experienced put her in the physical family tree of the one that we are here to worship this morning. Can our story go from disgrace to grace? Can our story be marked with that same scarlet cord? Can we make a choice? Can we choose freedom this morning as together we stand and as we sing?